Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen, and on today's show, we're talking about missions trips.
Thankful that you were able to join us again this week. Thanks for tuning in the past couple weeks. If you've been following along, we've talked about quite a number of different topics. Mm-hmm. And really, we just decided to talk about whatever kind of comes up through our week, or if we've been in discussion with some of you viewers, that's how we come up with topics to talk about.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it so far, so thanks for tuning in. If you want to be in contact with us, then please go to our website, neweveryday.tv, and you can click the contact link and then send us an email from there. Or you can also find us on Facebook, New Every Day, separate words.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can like us on Facebook, and we will respond to you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests. And let us know if you have any ideas for some shows.
Yes, that would be great. And you might be thinking, what is the concept behind New Every Day? And one of the things that we talked about was our theme verse, which is from Lamentations 3, and it starts in verse 22. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. They are new every morning. Lord, your loyalty is great. I say to myself, the Lord is mine, so I hope in him. And we just wanted to convey the Lord's faithfulness every single day, and that it's new every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what happened before. Every day is a brand new gift, like ready to be received, and the Lord is ready to walk with us through every single day. Like every single day is a brand new gift.
Yeah.
And so in the show, we hope that you're experiencing hope and comfort as you listen. And one of the things that we have learned from each other is listening to other people's stories and how they just navigate being a believer. And so in today's show, we're actually talking about missions trips, and we're going to share a little bit about our personal stories in the hopes that it will be an encouragement to you, because maybe you're struggling with, should I go on a mission? What does missions trips look like? Why would I go on one? And so what is sort of pushed us to do this particular topic today is because Carrie is leaving for Nicaragua in 2 sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, this would be a great opportunity to talk about mission. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't you tell us, like, what are you doing? Why are you going? You know, all those questions that people love to ask when you say, oh, I'm going to Nicaragua on a missions trip. So
sure.
So why are you going?
So this is the second year that I'm going to this same area, and it's through Threefold Ministries, and you can check out their website. You can look, magically it's going to appear right here, and you can go to their website and check it out. But what I'll be doing is working with a team of physicians and nurses and just volunteers, and we'll be running a clinic for local communities for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it worked last year was there's an established center called Skylark, a beautiful center in the middle of a not-so-nice neighborhood, but it's really beautiful and well cared for, and they employ local people to take care of the grounds and to run the different programs that are going on there. It's a Christian organization, but what they do is they have different programs that are there to serve the community and establish trust with them.
Excuse
me. So one way that they meet the needs of the community and build trust is by having medical clinics. So they have different teams coming in throughout the year. So every couple of months, they have different teams coming in. We set up a clinic, and then we bring people in from the different communities. Mm-hmm. We triage them. We hear their chief complaint, do assessments, refer them to outpatient services if they need consultations with cardiology or ultrasounds or blood work. And then they go to the pharmacy where they get medications that they need. And it's a really interesting experience. It really opened my eyes last year. This isn't the first time I've had exposure doing medical work abroad, but it's really always shocking and humbling to realize how blessed we are to have the things that we do here in Canada.
Now, how did you get hooked up with this mission? Like, did it drop out of the sky? Did it come in an email? Like,
yeah.
How did it happen?
So last year, a friend of mine named Anne, she attends the church that I go to, and she just said, Carrie, will you come with me on this medical mission? So I prayed about it. There wasn't any reason not to, and God had blessed me with a good job that I could pay for it. So I said yes and went.
Just like that?
Just like that. And I wasn't going to go back this year because I had other expenses that I was going to need to pay for. But I said, Lord, if you want me to go again, I will go.
Right.
I looked at my schedule. I would have had to switch 6 shifts to go. And so I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do it. It's going to be a real headache to do that.
Right.
And my manager called me in the office about a month ago and said, Carrie, you have to take 6 shifts off before June because you have too much vacation stored up. And I was like, okay, I know which ones I'm going to take.
So cool.
So cool. So he really took care of that. And, you know, people, different physicians and friends have donated medications. And, yeah, it's just been really awesome.
So now this is not the first, these are not the first missions trips you've gone on.
No.
You've gone on previous missions trips.
Yeah.
So these are specifically medical missions. So you took your skills as a nurse and went to another country to share your skills, which is what Paul did in the New Testament. He was a tent maker. Mm-hmm. So basically he sponsored himself to go from place to place to place in order that the gospel would be shared with the people in that community. So that's basically what you were doing. But every mission you've gone hasn't been, I want to say, a tent making mission where you're taking your skill and using your skill.
No. So the very first time that I went out of our own community here, I was 16 years old, and I went with my brother through the Free Methodist Church in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Deep River, Ontario to run a sports camp and share the gospel with teens there. So I had no idea what missions were about. I thought you always had to go and like help clothe poor people. I thought, in my mind, that's what a mission trip was.
Okay.
So this was something totally different. But it was amazing because my family and I, we'd just become Christians at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And we prayed that God would help us to pay for the trip. So we decided to have a garage sale. We solicited our neighbors and asked if they would donate some of their used goods.
Okay.
Filled my dad's garage, and he was not happy about it.
What is this junk doing?
It was full, like so much junk in there. And he was really like, well, what are we going to do with all this junk and everything? So we had the garage sale. We made everything that we needed for the trip. We made $1,200 at a garage sale.
So cool.
And then at the end of the day, this guy came from a used, what do you call that place? Like a Value Village type place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he showed up and said to my dad, at the end of the day, here's my card. Give me a call. And I'll come and pick up all the junk out of your garage. So it's funny when we talk about that, when we talk about missions and things.
Right.
My dad always points back to that as, well, God had all the details covered to get us over there.
Yeah.
You know, we took care of the money. He took care of even the junk out of our garage.
Yeah.
So it was really, each time I've gone somewhere, it's been really encouraging for me. You know, you think you go on these trips to do something for someone else, but really it showed me who God was as faithful provider, and also made me realize the importance of sharing the gospel. But you've had some experience in missions as well, right?
I have, and I'd always been afraid of going on missions trips.
Why?
Because I didn't think I had anything to offer. And
like skills-wise?
Skills-wise.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, what happens if they ask me a question about Jesus? I know. I'm a pastor, but what, you know, and I think I was just afraid of what if I don't have the right answer.
Okay.
And in my mind too, if, you know, foreign country, different language.
Weird food.
Yeah. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do or how I'm supposed to do it. So I think just the overwhelming fear of not being equipped or knowing enough.
Okay.
But it would be a failure. Anyways, so the very first missions trip I went on, a fellow youth pastor said to me, hey, do you want to team up and do a vacation Bible school in Rochester, which is in upper New York State? And I was like, okay, so he's done some work in Rochester. This is, you know, he knows the people. They speak English. I can run a vacation Bible school.
Okay.
So we packed up everything. I got my team together. We went, and God was so amazingly cool. Like, he just knit the whole thing together, beginning to end. And I realized maybe this whole missions trip idea isn't as hard as I think it is. That really, if God calls us to go somewhere, then he's going to knit everything together. And I still remember driving into the community, and it was just this wee little church in the community, and yet we must have had 60 kids come to vacation Bible school. Like, there's just so many kids, and to you know, to be singing these songs and teaching them about Jesus and running around outside, and I remember them saying, "Don't let the girls go anywhere by themselves." Like, we were not allowed, like, even though it was North America, we weren't allowed to go anywhere by ourselves and as females. And that was just like, oh, okay, we're not in Canada anymore. We're not in the wee little town that we came from. But it was just really cool. And I remember we did this object lesson as Jesus as our life saver. And we handed out life savers to all the kids. And I remember this one kid, he came forward. And we said, he took it. And we're like, are you going to eat it? And he's like, no, I want to keep it. Jesus is my lifesaver.
Oh,
I was just like,
that's cute.
Oh, so cool. So that sort of got me thinking, mission trips are okay. And then we end up going to Sherbrooke, Quebec, which basically to an African community who spoke French. And I'm like, okay, this is... nuts, because DePaul, there goes our batteries, but don't you worry, we're still powered up.
We're sponsored by Eco Alkaline Batteries. Environmentally friendly batteries that power our cameras and mics.
Yes.
And they're durable.
And they are durable. You can drop them.
Very thankful. All right, Jennifer, so you went to Quebec.
So I went to Quebec, and DePaul un petit peu français, and yet we were... asked to lead, like, I didn't lead songs in French, but our leaders led songs in French. I had to lead sports. I'm not even sporty. Walking doesn't count. I can walk. But I had to lead games in French, so I had to figure out what the French words were and then lead the games in French. And but what was the most coolest experience there is that the pastor brought us right. Like, he found places for us to stay, and it was basically a family gave up their home so that our team could stay in their apartment. And I remember coming out, and all the kids from the church were running around, and they, because I have blonde hair, then they just wanted to touch it, and they wanted to braid it, and they just wanted to be near me. And some of the best ministry was just that one-on-one connection with those kids. And that was an example where, okay, language doesn't matter.
No.
Like, it's what's in your heart. And when Jesus said in Matthew 28, you know, the Great Commission, go into all nations, baptizing and discipling and telling them about me. Sometimes we can think, okay, that's the other side of the world.
But yeah, but it doesn't have to be.
No.
Because the same people in our own community struggle with the same things. And I came to realize that this was last year when I was in Nicaragua, and they speak Spanish, and my Spanish is really bad, but they made a translator. And this woman came, and I had her chart from a previous visit, and it said that she really had struggled with depression, but she was coming this time for some pain. And so I did mention, I said, and how are you doing with your depression?
Right.
And she started to cry. And she said, last year... She was the grandmother of a little boy and was taking care of him.
Mm.
And she was just struggling. They were financially unstable. She just felt at her wit's end. She said, I was ready to kill myself. She said, and then I came to this clinic and I got hope. And, you know, she was able to hear about the hope that's found in Christ and how your identity is not found in what you have or what you don't have.
Yeah.
But it's because that he makes us a child of God and we can be new every day. And he does help us.
Yeah.
Physically helps us. Emotionally helps us. Psychologically, he can help us. And she was crying and she grabbed my hand. She said, and I'm so thankful. And then we prayed together. And that made me realize, Jen, that like, so this was another part of the world. But every day, you know, we run into people, they are struggling with the same things right here.
Yes.
So we don't have to go a million miles away.
Yeah, like this is our mission field.
Yeah.
And I know you've shared a little bit about your workplace, because I'm working at a church. So people, you know, in my line of business tend to know about Jesus or come asking questions about mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. But when you work in a place where Jesus is not the center, mm-hmm. you very much become the light and life and you know, the Jesus or what Jesus might act like mm-hmm. to those people. Like, you are a missionary at work, and I know we've had so many conversations about being that light.
Yeah, and same with, you know, my friend who works in an office, or my other friend who is living with people who don't share the same faith. They're atheist or they're Hindu or whatever. Jesus said, and you can look up the verse, Jen, that you are the light of the world,
mm-hmm.
and as a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So we're supposed to share our light. You don't have a light and you put it under a basket, but you put the lamp on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. And that used to freak me out because I thought, oh man, that's a big responsibility. And it is, because we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. But then when I realized, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. And you think of like the parable of the sower. So the farmer is sowing seed and it falls onto different types of soil, right?
Yeah.
If I'm the farmer, anyone can throw seed. Anyone can do it. Anyone can share the gospel. Anyone can open the door and just go meet with someone.
Yeah.
You can go outside and play with the kids. You can, whatever, have the conversation at work. You can pray with someone who needs prayer. Anyone can give out a Tylenol. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyone can sow the seed of love and the good news of Christ.
Yes.
Some plant, some water. But ultimately, God causes the increase.
Yes.
And I really took heart after reading that, because, like, who am I to go? Who are we to go?
Yeah. And one of the biggest challenges for me, because one of Carrie's gifts is evangelism. That's just how she is wired. When she goes places, she wants to tell people about Jesus. I value evangelism. It tends not to be my forte. But I understand the importance of it. So we go on vacation and I'm thinking, okay, I'm on vacation. I'm a believer, but I'm on vacation. And we're in Ireland at the time. And we're walking through the woods having a great time. And we come along this older man who's, was he walking a dog or just walking?
He's just walking.
Just walking. And we just start talking to them, talking to him. And then I started talking to another woman that we found along the way. And then Carrie just started sharing with this man about Jesus. And then she handed him a track. And I'm like, she brought a track on vacation?
Actually, you started sharing and I gave the track.
She brought a track on vacation. And it was just so, like, okay. Like, as believers, we are not to take a holiday from sharing our faith.
Yeah, I think it's in Timothy, Paul's, I believe so, where Paul says, preach the word in season and out of season.
Yes.
So which means there is no season where we're not to share.
Yeah, and I remember, I think we were in Australia or New Zealand last year, and there was just a guy and a girl talking back and forth, and I was sharing with Carrie, like, this is what they're talking about, da-da-da-da, and then I'm like, we're getting ready to go. And so I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. And I came back and you're like, cause we were doing selective eavesdropping and
in McDonald's.
And she's like, I think you really need to talk to them. I'm on vacation.
That's the thing, you know, pastor.
And so I just went over and I'm like, excuse me, but I've been eavesdropping on your conversation and I can't help but, you know, hear what you're saying. And I'm a pastor and I'm just wondering if you would mind me sort of.
Oh yeah, they were really disillusioned with Christianity. That's
yeah.
What it was. Yeah.
And we spent some time just talking with them and, but it really reminded me that we think, you know, oh, I need to go on a mission trip to share the gospel.
But you don't.
But you don't. And so often it feels like whenever I'm on vacation, because it's happened to me before at McDonald's, another, you know, two friends were down at the other end. I'm with some other friends on vacation in Arizona, and she's really struggling with her faith. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, because I'm listening to what she's saying. She's just really struggling. And I just finally got up and went over and said, excuse me, eavesdropping again. I've been eavesdropping on, I couldn't help but hear what you were saying. And I'm a pastor. Can I, you know, can I help in any way? And we had a conversation. It was good. I gave her my email.
Oh, yeah.
And, but that all came from Carrie, who just really inspired me that when, like you said, we are to preach the gospel in and out of season. And like I tell you so often, it's that fear.
What are they going to think of me? What are they going to say?
Yeah.
And I still have that. And I'm just so thankful for the people who have stepped out in my life to share good things with me about God and not been afraid of what I thought of them.
Yeah.
So thankful. There's a verse in the Bible that says, how can they believe in whom they haven't heard?
Yeah.
How can people believe unless we actually tell them?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording this show. That we were just excited. We wanted to use this to encourage you to just tell somebody.
Yeah.
Just share.
Yeah.
And share with a child. You know,
yeah.
They are sometimes the very best people to receive the good news. You know?
Yeah. Because they're open.
Yeah.
And they so often want to just be with adults who will pay attention to them and listen. And the best thing that you can do about sharing the gospel is loving well.
Yes, that's very true. I just thought about, I did another medical mission one time in the Dominican Republic, and it was with not a Christian organization. And so there was no, we were giving medication, we were giving antiparasites, doing assessments, blah, blah, blah. Good stuff, but there was no good news. So I know it is important to meet people's physical needs, and that's sometimes what they need.
Yes.
And you can be an answer to prayer that way. But really, the best thing that we have to offer is about Jesus.
Yeah.
And our identity comes from him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I could really feel the difference.
Mm.
The hope that we bring is Christ. You know, ultimately, it's not our skills that we bring. Necessarily,
yes.
Although we're supposed to use. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace and gifts in its various forms.
Exactly. So it's not just about, well, I'm not a preacher, so I can't go on a mission trip because I'm not a preacher.
Yeah.
But I'm on the other side thinking, oh, I can't.
You're a preacher.
I am a preacher. And here I'm like, I can't. I'm not really sporty And so often,
you can look at all your shortcomings, right?
We look at all of our shortcomings. And I remember I went to Cambodia, and first of all, we went to Vietnam and went through the hills of Sapa. And we were paired up with, I want to say, a Sherpa lady. They were from the Black Hmong tribe, like they looked Mongolian.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were paired up with them. With each one of us had a lady, and she would walk beside you along the trail because it was like, woo, like. Today, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but back then, I was totally scared and freaked out. So on, like, the levels, she would just be there, present, but, you know, letting us walk. And then sometimes, you know, if it got a little bit more difficult, she would hold her hand out to us, and we had the option of taking it or not.
Okay.
And then sometimes, though, when it got really serious, I remember her just grabbing a hold of me and pulling me up. Because
you're going to wipe out.
I was going to wipe out. And it taught me about who God was. Because sometimes God walks alongside of us. He just walks. And sometimes he holds his hand out to say, I'm here. I'm here to help you. Do you want my... And sometimes he literally grabs a hold of us and yanks us out of a dangerous situation that could have disastrous results. And I remember there was another lady with us, totally independent. I can do it. I'm fine. I can do it. And she like wiped out. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, seriously.
She seriously like wipe out. But she was like, no, I don't need your help. And it really taught me about God's love for us.
Right.
Like if we willfully like push away, then But I remember her grabbing a hold of me, and it's so stuck in my mind that there have been times in my life that God has grabbed a hold of me. And so as I'm on this missions trip, which I was supposed to be doing for other people,
okay,
God is speaking to my heart and changing my heart. And so I was radically changed by going on a missions trip.
So you think sometimes there is value in stepping out of our culture?
Yes.
Yeah. It also helped me understand the bigness of the universal church.
Yes.
And how believers in Canada, we are connected with the believers in Ghana, in Cambodia,
yes,
in the Dominican, and all over the world. We are brothers and sisters. And it really helped me understand that community. And sometimes it also takes going into another culture to realize the deficits that exist within our own. One thing I really, really realized being in like lower income areas is how they really band together as a community, the church body, and they meet each other's physical needs. They live together, they eat together, they serve, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes I think our independence really isolates us. And it took going to another culture and having people from other cultures come and share that with me. Then you think, you know what? There's some changes that we could make in our own church.
Interesting. So that's all the time that we have for today. I feel like we still have lots more to say about missions trips and how they've affected us. So we're going to close in prayer and then we're going to sign off. So here we go. Lord God, thank you that you are so unique in touching our hearts, and you have so many different ways of getting our attention. Sometimes it's right here in our own country, and sometimes you take us overseas. And Lord, use all sorts of different people to speak into us and teach us your truth. And then you use us to speak truth into other people's lives. God, thank you. And if anyone's struggling right now who's listening about going on a missions trip, Lord God, I ask that you would give them a peace about whether they should go or whether they should not go. But that peace would come from you. And that they would not allow fear to creep in and whisper things in their ear saying, that's not for you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in again. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Same time, same place. On New Every Day,
here on Category 5 TV.
Cheers.
Cheers.